And we recognize, we love, we respond to, we seek to know the Jesus of humility. But Paul is actually saying, do you recognize, do you love, do you seek to know the Jesus who is the Lord your God, the head of the church, the source of your being? And he goes on to say he's the firstborn of the dead, a phrase that takes us to the cross and to resurrection. Remember at Pentecost, Peter said, Jesus did not see corruption in the grave, but has been raised to life, exalted to God the Father. And Paul says, all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell in him. All the fullness of God is pleased to dwell in him. The Lord God resurrected him. He's the firstborn amongst the dead because all the fullness of God is in him. Death could not hold him. He is God with God. He is able, because he is both man and God, God and man, to make peace with God. Humanity is brought into forgiveness and the kingdom by a man who is God. Only God could pay to himself the cost of our alienation. If you're reconciled with someone, all the causes and consequences of your previous hostility are healed. Where there was war, there is now peace. And this reconciliation means that where we were alienated from God and evil, now we are holy. We've been set aside for him. Where we were once full of blame, we are now blameless. Where we were once people for judgment, we are now above reproach. And then Paul says, that's our situation if we continue in the faith. Now, if is such a little word, isn't it? If. But it's got very big considerations. If you continue in your faith, it raises the possibility you might not. Indeed, in the news this week, there was a focus on the news about a Christian leader in California who actually became quite world famous through writing books about two young people, about how they should take caution and care in their love relationships, how they should protect themselves from transgressing. And he got fame for it. He wrote lots of books. Everybody thought, wow, this is the coming man. And this week he said, oh, forget all that. That's a load of rubbish. I no longer believe in Christ. Is it possible for a Christian not to continue in faith? Doesn't Paul write in Romans, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus? Is Paul contradicting himself? Well, Paul certainly does say in Romans, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But if you read the chapter, he then goes to explain what it means to be in Christ Jesus. See, those who are in Christ Jesus are those who live in the Holy Spirit. And those who live in the Holy Spirit stop doing what does not please God. They stop doing what is hostile to God. They submit to God and seek only to do what pleases him. And he says that anyone who does not have the Spirit, which is evidenced by their walking in the way of the Spirit, does not have Christ, does not belong to him. And in Colossians, he's saying the same thing. If you are truly a Christian, you will endeavor to do what pleases God through spiritual wisdom and understanding. So if you're not living a life pleasing to God, you're not continuing in the faith. And then Paul continues to speak of his call as a minister. Well, of course, it's unique to him, but it's the call of every minister, and it's the call to every church, for all churches are ministers to those around them. We are the priesthood of all believers, and priests stand between God and the people. And when the people don't know God, we represent God to the people, and we represent the people to God. And Paul says he's a minister whose purpose is to make the word of God fully known, which is Christ, and to make every believer mature in Christ. See, his ministry is my ministry, is our ministry. We're all called to proclaim Christ and to make every Christian perfect in Christ. A continuing task, of course. It means becoming perfect. It's not an achievement, but a journey. So I wonder, when Paul says to the Colossians, if it's not possible to see that, not so much about the individuals, but about the church. Is the church in Colossae a church that fully believes in Jesus Christ as head and source? Do they put him front and center in all they do? Are they seeking to be a people maturing in Jesus? Well, I shared a contemporary example of someone who claimed to be a Christian, but who now denies that fact. Do you remember Israel and Judah in the Old Testament? Israel, the 10 tribes, Judah, the 2 tribes. Judah, the 2 tribes who stayed faithful to the house of David. And what happened to Judah? Babylon. Judah was destroyed. Jerusalem was trashed. The temple was burnt down. The leaders were exiled. There were still individual believers. Read Ezekiel, read Daniel. But the community, the church, if you like, was overthrown because of idolatry. Idolatry is anything that puts something before God. It can be a positive action, like loving money instead of God. It can be a failure of action, like not standing up for God. The believing faithful were saved, but Judah was not. The community disappeared into exile in Babylon. Remember also the book of Revelation and the letters to the churches. 6 of the 7 letters carry explicit warnings from Jesus. Warnings from Jesus, warnings from Paul to the church in Colossae are a sign of God's love. Remember what Jesus says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline." So be earnest and turn back to God. See, Paul is warning the Colossian church. Don't be deceived by plausible arguments. These are plausible arguments that were aimed at denying the centrality, the supremacy, the preeminence, the necessity of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, don't be deceived. Keep Jesus first and foremost. He is supreme. He is all you need. Continue in your faith, which is the gospel of Christ. Make him known to the Gentiles. Become mature in your faith. Become perfect in Christ. That's the call he's setting before them. That's the call he's praying for. And he's preaching against being taken away from that by plausible arguments. So I wonder, when we consider the letter to the Colossians, when Paul comes to these warnings and concerns about their walk with Christ, whether they are continuing in faith, how might they apply today? Some people are fairly certain that some parts of the church in the United Kingdom are not continuing in faith with Christ. Are there planks of plausible arguments? Are there filters of idolatry within our eyes? This is something for us to consider. But how would we know if there are planks of plausible arguments? How would we know if we are slipping into idolatry? If we are putting something else before Christ? Well, Paul's letter gives us some tests. Is Jesus Christ supreme for us? Is he the all, the be-all and the end-all, the absolute head and leader and source of our being as a church? Do all we do, in all that we do, serve, proclaim and share Jesus Christ in word and action? Or do we hedge it about? Do we hedge it about with, let's not upset people by telling them about Jesus? Let's not. Is there a plank of plausible arguments? Are we living lives pleasing to God, endeavoring to be perfected in Christ? Or do other viewpoints and other ideas rule our life as a church? Are we making known among the unbelievers around us, those we have contact with and those beyond them, are we making known the glorious riches of Jesus Christ? These are questions. These are things to ponder. I encourage you to reread Colossians chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2. Ponder. Are we a people whose eyes contain planks of plausible arguments and a filter of idolatry? These are things to take seriously and to seriously consider in wisdom and in understanding. For what a dreadful thing it would be if, like Judah, though we survived as individuals, the proclamation of this church about Jesus Christ ceased to be alive in Polesworth. Let's pause and contemplate. Lord, we pray. Against the background of the noise, we pray, O Lord, that your quiet voice will be heard in our hearts. Lord, we pray against the distractions that are all around us, that your will be the call of our living. Lord, we pray that against all the world views portrayed and projected and proclaimed on television and in the media, we will see them all as plausible arguments, and we instead will listen to who you are and see in you the one and only source of our lives. In Jesus I pray. Amen.